I got a message, got a question from a listener earlier. Any news on the cabinet reshuffle front? No, there is no news on the cabinet reshuffle front, but let's discuss cabinet reshuffles with Melanie Favut, former ANC MP, former ambassador, columnist and author. Melanie, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
It's got to happen before the State of the Nation address, which, it doesn't have to, but it's almost certain to happen before the State of the Nation address, which is in 2 weeks' time.
I think there's a good chance, but I always say to people, it's not very useful to speculate either on dates or on names, because unless you're in the president's head, only he knows what he's going to do. But I think there is a lot of pressure, and I think he personally would like to do it. So I think there is a good, I would think it would happen soon, yes.
Okay, and you said you don't like to speculate about names, but that's exactly what I'm going to ask you to do. It appears that Gwede Mantashe believes that there is at least a chance that he's going to have the energy portfolio taken away from him, whether energy and minerals are going to stay together and be given to somebody else, or whether they're going to be separated and he's going to keep minerals or something else and somebody else is going to get energy. He obviously believes that is a possibility. I mean, how big a move on Ramaphosa's part would it be to take away from Mantashe a portfolio that Mantashe obviously wants?
Look, he clearly wants it, as you say. I've been writing about this for a while now and really pushing the fact that I believe that energy should be split off, that the president needs to get a climate change portfolio and put energy in there. I think that is the norm across the world now, where any country, even in developing countries, any country that takes climate change seriously, have done this split and puts energy in there. I think it's untenable. And I also think it sends the wrong message to leave it with mining and minerals, because you send the wrong message in a country and in a time in history where we need to start focusing on renewables a lot more. And I mean, Mantashe has made it very clear that he's not a fan of renewables for whatever reason, and that, I mean, we all know we'll have to do a mix for quite a while, but that he's really a coal man. And I think that's very problematic. The problem for the president is, of course, that Mantashe is one of his strong allies. And the problem with our electoral system is, I mean, the president faces a lot of constraints. But at the moment, one of his constraints are, of course, to do with our electoral system, as I said, is that, of course, even though he's got a much bigger majority now in terms of the ANC when he got elected, and also a much stronger NEC than he had in 2017, the problem remains for him that he can be recalled by the ANC at any given time. So he really needs to balance that carefully and not alienate very strong allies of his too much. I don't particularly think it's a massive move on his side, you know, as long as he keeps Mantashe in a fairly senior position. And I think if he makes it quite clear why he's separating energy from it, I think that would be fine.
So I think people who perhaps understand the dynamics of the ANC less well than somebody like you does, so I'm somebody who doesn't understand the dynamics of the ANC in the way that you do. I look at his majority, I look at his the NEC, and so on, and I go, really, what's holding you back from being brave? You know, just go ahead and you. You can't have another term as president of the ANC. Mm-hmm. So just be brave, you know, go down in history as somebody who dared. But as you point out, maybe it's not as easy as that.
Well, I think there are a number of factors. The one is we need to accept that he has been brave, maybe not as brave as people wanted him to be. But for example, the way he's taken on corruption, et cetera, in this country, took a lot of courage, and there was a huge risk on his side in terms of the ANC. And we saw it, you know, we saw how that played out. I think what people sometimes see as a strong leader is sort of a bull in a china shop who just goes in, you know, and destroy things left, right, and center in order, and people see that as brave. He doesn't work like that. That's not how he works, and that's not his strength. His strength is to work more carefully behind the scenes. We're not always aware. We're all looking one side, and he finally achieves exactly what he wanted to achieve, but going the other way first. So I think there's also a personality issue at stake here. And then, as I've indicated already, is that given our electoral system, the vulnerability of a president is not like the American system, where you can go I am done. And when we see that with American presidents, they go all out in that last sort of 2 years or so, or even a little bit more of their second term. The point is that at any stage, if the NEC decides, yeah or no, too much, they can pull him back. It's unlikely that they will do that because they know that he's a big electoral vote drawer for the ANC still.
Yeah, so all of the polls say that he personally is much more popular than the ANC, the party is. Yeah.
Yes, and that they know that he can. I mean, I think the really vulnerable, there are two vulnerable points for him. The one is if there's something still very dramatic around Palapala, and I think he does not like his own personal stuff to distract from the mission in the country. And we saw that last year when he nearly resigned. And I think it's for that reason. It's not because he believes he's done anything wrong. It's because he doesn't like the distraction to the country.
Because
the second one is after the elections, if the ANC doesn't do well.
Again, going back to individuals, surely there are certain individuals who, if they are to still be in the next cabinet, it shows that he doesn't think he has as strong a hand in the ANC as maybe outside observers would think. So, for example, if Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, if Masuale, if Lindiwe Sisulu, are still in the cabinet. Well, Masuala's a deputy, so he's not in the cabinet. But if those names are still there, then is that an indication that he's not being as brave as we would like, that he's still a little tentative?
It could be. But, I mean, I first of all think that they should resign. You know, I don't think you can't stay in a cabinet when you've done what you've done and said what you've said. But so I think there's a lot of question marks around that. But secondly, I think, I mean, for me, if you keep somebody like Lindiwe Sisulu and Nkosazana Dlamini, there's others which he should really tuck out. But and I believe they should go as well. But if he keeps them, with Lindiwe, the complication is the family history, you know, so he might put her in some portfolio that he doesn't think is too important. And then Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, of course, there is a deep respect. But my sense is that there'll be talks behind the scenes and say, look, I'm going to drop you unless you resign. So why don't you just resign? You know, so, yeah, I don't think it's particularly because he feels weak or under threat. I think there's this sort of inherent loyalty or respect out of their history and family connection.
Melanie Verwoerd, columnist and many other things, thank you for your analysis.